Good evening. 2 months ago, Titus told me that summer at College Hill would be a season of slow pace. So I was really looking forward to the summer. But when the summer finally came, I realized that I have 3 sermons to preach in 3 weeks and to get prepared for moving into a hot new house and the birth of a new baby. So it's nowhere close to the slow pace I was looking forward to. But then I start to wonder, maybe I should not be looking forward to a slow-paced summer. Instead, I should be looking forward to a fruitful summer. So it's my hope tonight that my sermon, that God will use my sermon tonight to bear fruit in your lives for Himself. So our text tonight is from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. It's on page 1278 of your Pew Bible. This is a short but a powerful message. In just 3 verses, the author gives us a strong exhortation to draw near to the throne of grace, to find, to receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So now pay attention to the Word of God. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the Word of God. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, we pray that you will use your servant to open your Word to your people. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts before your Word. Bless our time of hearing your Word and help us do it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Christian life is often compelled to a race. In Paul's epistles, he constantly refers to his ministry as a race to reach the goal and get the prize. That's why he said famously at the end of his life, "I have finished the race." But the race analogy is not just Paul's jargon. In the epistle to the Hebrews, the author also uses the imagery of running to describe our Christian lives. In chapter 4, he writes, "Let us strive to enter their rest so that no one may fall by the wayside." And in chapter 12, he writes again, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So it's a biblical expression when we say life is a race. Moreover, we recognize that this race is not a sprint, but a marathon, because it's a race that requires endurance and perseverance, because it's a race that we have to run throughout our whole life. So we need to remind beginners that the Christian life is a marathon, lest they use up their energy before reaching the finish line. However, there is also a reminder for experienced runners. We need to know that there is a time to sprint, even in a marathon. In our text today, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16, we are told, "Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In our marathon toward the heavenly city, God provides us a highway to His throne of grace. And this highway is prayer. God gives us the privilege of prayer because He knows that there is a time when we need to come to His presence immediately. There is a time for us to sprint to His throne of grace. So the question is, when is that time? When is the time for us to sprint in a marathon? And verse 16 gives us the answer, in time of need. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need. In Greek, it's only one word, eukairon. It's not difficult for you to guess the meaning of this word. The prefix eu means good, as it appears in the English word eulogy. And the root kairon is the adjective form of kairos, which means time, a particular point of time. So the literal translation for eukairon would be at the good time, or just a simple word, timely. But the majority of English Bible translators find it appropriate to render this single word as in time of need. Because the best time for you to receive help is when you need it the most, when you are in time of need. There seems to be no challenge for us to pray in our time of need, because it's our natural tendency to come to God whenever we are in trouble or in need. But I want to point to you a striking phenomenon. There is a time of need. There is a time when you are in desperate need of God's mercy and grace. There is a time of your utmost need of God's help. And yet, you are unwilling to draw near to the throne of grace. You may be wondering, when is the time? When is the time of need that you are unwilling to come to God? It's not the time when you are undergoing sufferings. It's not time when you are facing persecutions. It's not time when you are fighting temptations. But it's the time when you have been overcome by sin. It's the time when you realize that you did the same old disgusting thing again and are overwhelmed with sense of guilt and shame. The conviction of sin is so deep that you don't want to mention about your sin. The feeling of shame is so fresh that you don't want to talk to anyone. The hatred of self is so strong that you don't believe you deserve God's mercy. And the displeasure of God is so obvious that you dare not come to His throne. Maybe it's when you wake up from an overnight drunkenness. Maybe it's when you have spent hours on watching pornography. Maybe it's after you have a fight with your spouse. Maybe it's after you lose your temper before your kids. So let your memory bring you back to that embarrassing moment when you felt that you disappointed yourself and failed God, when you were in a total mess and utter misery. Maybe that moment was a long time ago. Maybe it just happened recently. Or maybe it's likely to happen again in the future. I have a fresh memory of Asaph in that condition. It was 3 weeks ago while we were driving back home from New York. When we were getting off Highway 76, we started to hear Asaph crying. It was certainly not the first time Asaph cried on that road trip. Actually, he cried a lot. When he cried, sometimes we passed him a bottle of milk. Sometimes we gave him some snacks. Sometimes, or most of the times, we just ignored him. But this time was different. He screamed like a dying pig, so that we had to check on him. And it was not hard for us to figure out the reason. Asaph had an explosion. His poop was all over the place, on his car seat, his clothes, his legs, his feet, his hands, and even around his mouth. Since we were very close to our house, we decided to dash home directly. And the first thing we did when we arrived home was not to unload our baggage, was not to take a much-needed nap, but to pull Asaph out and undress him and give him a shower. That's what every parent would do. Oh, friends, I didn't tell you this story to amuse you, but to remind you that when you have sinned, when you have committed a transgression against God, you are in a much worse scenario than Asaph's. You are covered with the disgusting filthiness of sin, and you have no way of cleaning it by yourself. You are a mess, and you are in a time of utmost need of God's help. What shall you do? Are you going to wait until things get better? Are you going to keep silent until you cannot hide it any longer? No, you scream to God for help. You spring to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace. Oh, brothers and sisters, among all of the mercies of God for us, we have no greater need than the need of His forgiveness. Nevertheless, when we are in a time of this greatest need, we tend to delay our confession. We are slow to seek His forgiveness, and we are more comfortable to live with our poops than to draw near to the throne of grace. Oh, how long will you start to realize that this is so disgusting and ridiculous? So delay no more. Spring to the throne of God. Spring to His throne of grace in your time of need. But our text does not stop there. Yes, you have stumbled. You are in a time of utmost need, and you have no better choice but to draw near to the throne of grace for the forgiveness of your sins. But the more amazing truth is that not only you need to come to God, but that you shall come to Him with all confidence. Verse 16 says, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. You should be confident that you are most welcome to draw near to God when you are in your most sinful and miserable condition. Right after you have committed an abhorrent sin in the sight of God, when you are still overwhelmed with guilt and sin and shame, God wants you to come to Him boldly and not timidly, with confidence and without hesitation. This just sounds contrary to our natural response. As an experienced sinner, my customary style to come to the throne of grace is not to sprint, but to sneak. I want to put enough safe space between my transgression and my confession. I need time to prepare myself for coming to God face to face. And I think maybe God also needs time to let His anger cool down. So I would like to sneak to the throne of grace. And hopefully God will not notice me until I safely reach the base. Recently, I started to notice the same pattern in my son Kai. Now Kai is 3, and he is ready for, he is supposed to start potty training, but he's still using diapers. And when he poops in his diaper, he will quietly withdraw to a corner and stay away from people. And after playing by himself for a while, he will sneak back to me, pretending that nothing has happened. And then I will ask him, Kai, did you poop? And I will see an expression of confusion on his face, as if he's wondering, how did you find it out? Because he thinks that the poop smell is gone, and therefore no one will be able to discover his secret. But what he does not know is that the smell is still there. Actually, it grows, it becomes only stronger as time goes by. But he could not smell it because his nose has got used to it. So this is Kai's illusion, and maybe it's your illusion as well. You think that your sin stench will subside with time. So you wait until your conscience stops condemning you, and then you feel ready to sneak to the throne of grace. But the reality is that while your conscience is gradually being numbed, your sin stench is rising up into heaven. So it's time for you to drop your silly pretense. It's time for you to stop sneaking toward God. It's time to sprint to the throne of grace. Naked, filthy, and smelly, yet with all confidence. Because God will not reject you because of your filthiness, because of your stink. On the contrary, He will have mercy on you because of your filthiness. I might ignore Asa most of the times when he cries, but I will never ignore his scream when he had poop or over himself. I might trick Kai 100 times to poop in a potty, but I will never refuse to change his dirty diaper, even when he fails to go to the potty. What a father I would have been If I had allowed poops to stay on my children, likewise, what a God would he have been had he withheld forgiveness from you and left you in the filthiness of sin. It would be an insult to his fatherhood if you ever doubt that he will forgive you when you come to him. So brothers and sisters, spring to the throne of grace with confidence, even when you are stained within and become a mess. Come to God, and he is more than willing to clean up your mess, to purge you with hyssop, and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But well, at the ground of your confidence, yes, God is a compassionate Father, but he is also a righteous judge. A compassionate Father is willing to wash you clean, but a righteous judge is obliged to punish you for your sin. So what's the reason for your confidence? That when you come to the judgment seat, you will not die for your sin. And our text gives the answer. Because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. What a kind of high priest do we have? Verse 14 says, he has passed through the heavens. Verse 15 says, he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. He has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. And this is our high priest. Because he has passed through, therefore we can draw near. Because he is able to feel sympathy, therefore we are able to feel confidence. I have never been to a court. The closest experience I have ever had to a court hearing is when I stood before the presbytery to be judged as to whether I was qualified for ministry. I was scared every time I had to take the presbytery exam. But I was relieved when I saw my seminary professors sitting down there, because I knew that if I screwed up, they would surely speak for me. And I was even more comforted when I saw Matthew Ma, the Chinese pastor at North Hills, because he also was a Chinese who had been examined in every respect as I was. And so, he was able to sympathize with the cultural barrier and the linguistic challenge that I have to face. So because of his peer presence there, I became more confident to stand before the presbytery. However, this is not what this text means. When we come before God, Jesus is not there to plead mercy for you. He is there to guarantee your acquittal. Jesus is not there to make a bargain on your behalf. He is there to close your case. He's not interested to refer to your criminal record. He does not bother to show evidence of your repentance. As our advocate, he has only one argument, and this is his argument. I have paid for this person's sin. Therefore, it's unjust to punish the same act of sin a second time. This is his only argument to acquit you. It's as if Pastor Ma had told the presbytery, because I have passed the exam, therefore you must let this young man pass as well. It wouldn't do with the presbytery, but it works for God. Because Jesus Christ is our great high priest who offered up himself as a sacrifice once for all to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God. He was tempted in every respect as we are, not that we might resist every temptation as he was, but primarily for the purpose that when we fail, when we fall, when we lose, he could credit his righteousness to our account. By the means of his blood, he has passed through the heavens. By the means of his blood, he has turned the judgment seat into a mercy seat. By the means of his blood, we can now spring to the throne of grace, not to receive punishment and find wrath, but to receive mercy and find grace. O sinners, make your confession of Jesus Christ if you have not. Hold fast to your confession if you have. And then let us spring together to the throne of grace. Only through the high priest, only by the means of his blood, we will surely receive from God the Father the forgiveness of our sins. Our text tells us that Jesus has been tempted in every respect, yet without sin. But this is not to say Jesus is a stranger to sin. On the contrary, no one is more familiar than he was with the curse of sin. The Son of God came to us in the likeness of sinful flesh. He who knew no sin became sin for our sake. On the cross, the Word incarnate became the sin incarnate. On the cross, the beloved Son became the object of the Father's wrath. So fix your mind on the cross of Jesus. When the iniquities of us all were laid on him, when he was overwhelmed with the sense of guilt and the experience of shame to the uttermost, when he even cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even at this darkest moment in his life, he was able to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, commit your spirit into God's hands, even when you have fallen into temptation and you are still overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Commit your spirit into God's hands, even when you are crossing the river of death and the memory of all the sins that you have committed in your life comes back to you like waters coming up to your neck. And at that moment, be confident to commit your spirit into God's hand. Fix your eyes on the cross and let us spring to the throne of grace in time of need. Let us spring to the throne of grace with all confidence. Let us spring to the throne of grace through our great high priest. Let us pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we regret the fact that we don't spring to your throne of grace when we have sinned against you. We don't spring to you in our time of utmost need of your forgiveness. But now, we have come to your presence, and we ask for your forgiveness, of our slowness to seek your forgiveness. And we have the confidence that even now, in spite of our delay and hesitation, you are still more than willing to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O Lord, forgive us and help us, give us the confidence to spring to your throne of grace in our time of utmost need. In the name of our great High Priest, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.